we begin. In 2 weeks, we're going to celebrate the Lord's Supper and partake of that as a body of Christ. If you know someone that is homebound and needs the elements and would like to have those so they can join us, those are available in the church office during the week. 55 Alive is taking their trip on Friday, August 16th to the Pensacola Naval Air Museum. And they're going to meet at 7:30 in the morning that day. The cost is $10. If you want to sign up, you can do that at the events table in the back. Grease Share is starting on Thursdays at 10 a.m. in the youth room beginning this Thursday, August 15th. And if you haven't already signed up and you want to participate in that, you can sign up at the welcome desk to participate in Grease Share. Our preschool open play day on Tuesdays from 9:30 to 11 each week. The preschool hall is open for infants through pre-K with opportunities for families to get to know each other and to hang out together and enjoy the indoor playground with parental supervision. Each month, there's a special theme for that. So if you have young ones and you want to come up and have some fellowship with other moms, that is on Tuesdays at 9:30. Our women's Bible study is starting beginning Tuesday, September the 10th, and they're going to be going through Priscilla Shirer's book on Jonah. You can sign up at the events table for that if you're a lady and would like to be part of that Bible study on Tuesdays. Well, that's all the announcements that we have, other than we are so excited that you've joined us this morning and that we are going to begin our worship service today with baptism. So we'll turn our attention to the baptistry.
Well, good morning, church. It is always a wonderful, wonderful way to start worship with baptism. Today we have Greg Kahn coming. So Greg has been coming to Luke for the last 2 months, right about 2 years, sorry, 2 years. And when Keith Chancey was here just a few months ago, Greg recognized that he was in need of Jesus as his Lord and Savior. And that day he came to know Christ as his Lord and Savior. And we rejoice in that. But he said, David, I want to wait to be baptized for a few more weeks because today, on August 11th, marks 2 years of his sobriety. And so we are rejoicing in what God has done. So, Greg, is Jesus Christ the Lord of your life? Yes. Amen. Well, Greg, it's upon your profession of faith that I baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, buried with Christ unto death, and raised to walk in newness of life. Amen. Amen. Let's pray, church. Oh, Father, we just thank you for this incredible day. We thank you for the testimony, Lord, of Greg, that he once was dead, but now he's alive in Christ. He has been set free, and now he is part of the body of Christ. And so, Lord, we just rejoice in what you're doing here at Luke 4:18 Fellowship, Lord. And I pray, Father, that we would come alongside him as he comes alongside us and as we run together for the kingdom of God. Lord, I also pray that if there's anyone in here today who does not know you as Lord and Savior, I pray today would be the day of salvation. Lord, we love you, we praise you, and we give you all glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much for worshiping with us today. And if you're a guest with us, we'd love for you to fill out the welcome card that's right in front of you. And if you do that and turn that into one of our offering boxes that we have at the back of the room, then you'll get a little bit more information about Luke 4:18 Fellowship, how you can become a member, or how you can serve. We would love for you to do that as we, the people of God, worship God together in spirit and in truth. Amen. Well, why don't you stand and welcome one around you as we begin to sing today.
What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. This is all my hope and
Amen. We know that nothing but the blood of Jesus can save us from our sins. Once we enter into that fellowship, we become the family of God, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for His own possession to do good works that He has laid for us beforehand. We've seen today one go from death to life. Proclaim, I know Jesus. Amen. Let's sing about that joy today.
We worship the God who was. We worship the God who is. We worship the God who evermore will be. He opened the prison doors. He parted the raging sea. My God, He holds the victory. Yeah. There's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord today. And we won't be quiet. We shout out Your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place. And we won't be quiet. We shout out Your praise. Oh, oh, oh. We shout out Your praise. We sing. We sing to the God who heals. We sing to the God who saves. We sing to the God who always makes a way. 'Cause He hung up on that cross, then He rose up from that grave. My God still rolling stones away. There's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord today. And we won't be quiet. We shout out Your praise. Quiet, we shout out Your praise. 'Cause we were the beggars, now we're royalty. We were the prisoners, now we're running free. We are forgiven, accepted, redeemed by His grace. Let the house of the sing praise.
Sing that again.
'Cause we were the beggars, now we're royalty. We are the prisoners, now we're running free. We are forgiven, accepted, redeemed by His grace. Let the house of the Lord sing praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord.
Sing it today.
There's the Lord today, and we won't be quiet. We shout out Your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place, and we won't be quiet. We shout out Your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord today. We shout out Your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place. And we won't be quiet. We shout out Your praise.
Oh, we shout out Your praise. There is joy. There is joy in this house today.
mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary.
And at that moment, we have our testimony, right? Where we met Jesus. We need to share that message with the world. And tell them that they can have new life in Christ too. Amen. Everybody needs Jesus. Let's sing this together.
Everyone needs compassion, a love that's never failing. Let mercy fall on me. Everyone needs forgiveness.
Amen.
The kindness of a Savior. The hope of
let's sing Savior.
Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever author of salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave.
Jesus, thank you for all that you've done for us. Thank you for your mercy and your grace. It's new every morning. Thank you for taking us and saving us.
So take me as you find me, all my fears and failures, and fill my life again. I give my life to follow everything I believe in. Now I surrender, oh, Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save, He is mighty to save.
You may be seated as we continue in worship today.
Worthy is with me.
Father, we want to point our adoration and our praise and our worship and our affections towards you today for who you are, for the way that you created this world to reflect your glory in us as well. We pray that we would reflect your glory in everything that we say and do, everything that we speak, Lord. We pray that you would be glorified. We pray that we would study and that we would learn and that we would act on that faith that we build, Lord, through your Holy Spirit. We pray that you would lead and guide and direct us. And never forget Calvary. And never forget the sacrifice that you made, Lord. That you have given us access through your righteousness. That the veil was torn in two so that we might be able to talk to you directly, not go through any other person, Lord. We thank you for this new covenant that we've been able to enter into because of your blood, because of your sacrifice. We're thankful that you did that for the entire world, Lord. That anybody that calls in the name of the Lord shall be saved. We pray that we would believe in our hearts and confess with our mouth your name that is above every name, the name of Jesus. Amen.
Song. I love how it says, let the veil down. The only way that we can go behind the veil is because of Jesus Christ. Because of the blood that was spilt on Calvary, that was poured out on our behalf, the veil was torn from top to bottom, and I praise God for that. And you know, sometimes we sing, let the veil down like that, but do we realize what that required? And that required the death of Jesus on the cross. But praise God, he rose again, conquering death, hell, and the grave just 3 days later. If you have your Bibles, and I hope that you do, open up to Acts chapter 13. I know that we have been in the book of James, but we're going to be in the book of Acts today. We're going to do something a little bit different. If you get our newsletter or what we call our bulletin that comes out on Friday, you can get that by our email. You found out that we are going to do an ordination today for our youth pastor, Josh Grogan, and we are super excited about that. In doing this, I was reminded of when Brother Fred walked through my ordination service and time, and he said, you know, David, because you're on staff and you're a staff member that we're ordaining, we're going to take Sunday morning and we're going to have an opportunity to pray over you and the ministry that God has for you. And it blessed my heart so much that I figured I'd follow in the steps of Brother Fred Wolf, and we would take today as an opportunity to pray over and support Josh Grogan in the ministry that God has called him to. Now, as we walk through this passage, we're going to do a few things different than what we did when I was ordained. You may remember that. That was just 2010. It was a few years ago. Was it 10? Hang on. I have my Bible here, and Brother Fred signed it. It was 2012. And so just a few years ago. But this time, Josh is going to be a part up here and going to be sharing some in this message. So super excited about that. Listen, Acts 13 is a good example of a ministerial appointment. Now, I get that there is not a perfect passage for me to say this is how an ordination service would go, but this is a good example here as we see Paul, we see Barnabas, we see what is taking place here. And so I want to pick up specifically in, Barnabas and Simon. We're going to pick up in Acts 13, verses 1 through 4. Let's read actually in verse 2. While they were ministering to the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work that I have called them. Then, when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So, being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus. Let's pray. Father, we just ask that as we open up your word, as we look at this today, Father, that we will just glean nuggets of truth from your scripture. Father, I pray that your word would go forth, that it would be your truth that is spoken today, Lord. And I pray this would just be a blessing for Josh, but also a blessing for the congregation as we continue to support him and raise up his arms in prayer as he runs for the kingdom of God that you have called him to. Now, Lord, we love you and praise you, for it's in your holy, holy name. Amen. Now, in verse 2, we see a specific calling. Look at what it says in verse 2. It says, while they were ministering to the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul, and then he says, for the which I have called them. The first thing that I want you to recognize is that God is the one who does the calling. God is the one who calls. I've had people tell me before, David, when I grow up, I'm going to be a pastor. And I said, well, that's great if the Lord calls you. I've had people come to me and say, I think that the Lord's calling me to be a pastor. And I tell them to run as fast as they can. And if you can't outrun the calling, then you're called. But I have also seen people who have said, man, I really enjoyed youth ministry, so I believe I'm going to be a youth pastor. And then they get into the ministry of youth ministry, and they realize it's not everything that they saw as a student. There's a lot more behind the scenes, and there's a lot of other things that go on, and they kind of phase out. Did you know that the average youth pastor, now I've heard this many times, I have not seen it from some credible source, but I've heard it many times, that the average youth pastor stays about 9 months at a local church. The reason for that, though, is that so many of them are not truly called. Let me just say that again. The reason is that so many are not truly called. Listen, we can go all the way back throughout Scripture and see God's calling on people's lives. Even in Genesis chapter 12, we see God's call on Abraham. Abraham didn't call God. God called Abraham. It says this in Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. Now the Lord said to Abraham, go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land which I will show you. And I will make you a great nation. And I will bless you and make your name great. So you shall be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you. And the one who curses you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. Who did the calling? God did. Look at all the times in that scripture where it says, I will, I will, I will. It's God who does this. Even when there was the covenant between God and Abraham, God's the one who makes this covenant. Abraham didn't pass, it was God that did it. It was one-sided in some sense, because God knew that Abraham couldn't complete it. He couldn't follow through with it, right? So we see that it's God that's calling. In Exodus chapter 3, verses 10 and 12, we see God speaking to Moses. And what does he say? He says, therefore come now, and I will send you to Pharaoh. Who will send? I will. God will. So that you may bring my people, the sons of Israel, out of Egypt. Then verse 11, Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the sons of Israel out of Egypt? And then verse 12 continues on, and it says, certainly I will be with you. And this shall be the sign to you that I, who have sent you, there it goes. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall worship God at this mountain. Who is sending him? Who is calling him? God is. We even see the Levites are called by God. Numbers 3 verse 12 speaks of the fact that God called the Levites. We see that God is the one who calls the disciples. We see that throughout the whole ministry of Jesus. But let's just look at one specific verse, John 15, verse 16. In John 15, verse 16, it says, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you would go and bear fruit, and that your fruit would remain, so that whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he may give to you. We see also in Paul's life the calling of God. Acts chapter 9, verse 15, God is sharing about the fact, and now I'm drawing a blank on his name, but he's supposed to go down to talk to Paul, to see Paul. And he says, don't you know who Paul is? Don't you know what Paul has done? And then it says this, it says, but the Lord said to him, go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the sons of Israel. Church, we must recognize first and foremost that God is the one who does the calling. Acts chapter 20, verse 28 also says this: "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you." I just read that, sorry. "Be on guard for yourself and for all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers." Who made you an overseer? God did. God is the one who calls. We saw last week Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. And in Ephesians 4, 11, it says that he gave some as apostles and some as prophets and some as evangelists and some as pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of service. Church, who is the one who calls? It's God. You may say, "David, you went through a lot." I could continue on through so many passages in Scripture to show you that God is the one who calls. And the reason I say this is because if God hasn't called somebody to the pastorate or called somebody to the ministry full time, then they're going to be in their own power and their own strength trying to do what only God can do. If you recognize that God is the one who called you, then the days you want to throw in the towel, you realize God's going to throw the towel right back at you. On the days that you're ready to say, "I quit," God says, "Hey, let me remind you of who called you." I'll never forget, as a senior in high school, when the Lord put on my heart that I was called into the ministry to be a pastor. I remember that day, and there's many times in ministry that I go back to that moment to be reminded of what God called me to do. I remember the moment when God put on my heart to say yes to coming behind Brother Fred. And when Brother Fred came and shared with me, I remember the moment of what God took me through of the specific calling of being pastor here. And I can't tell you in 4.5 years how many times I've gone back to that moment. I remember the time when January 1st, 2020, we were supposed to transition from senior pastor, from Brother Fred to me. And he told me back in like October that this was going to happen. I said, "Brother Fred, I won't be here on January 1st. It's kind of hard to have a transition when one of them's not here." And he said, "Well, we'll transition on the first, but we'll do a service the following Sunday." Well, I wasn't here on January 1st because I was in Israel. And I was standing at the Jordan River in Jericho. And I go back to that because I'm reminded that God is the one who called. And it was there at Jericho that Joshua, Moses, there's a transition, right? Joshua is now leading the people in to the promised land. I go back to Jericho because we see that transition between Elijah and that happens with the mantle right there, just cross the river at Jericho. As we take a time of ordination today, Josh, I want to remind you that God is the one who calls you, no one else. It's Christ and Christ alone who calls you. And because he calls you, we also see in this passage that he gives you specific work. Look back at that scripture in 1 Corinthians, Acts 13, 1 through 4, what it says there in verse 2 at the end: "For the work to which I have called them." There are specific works that God has called. Ephesians 4 spoke of that, as we looked at just a second ago, that we see the specific works of preachers and teachers and all these different works. But we also see that the disciples had a specific work. If we go back to John 15, verse 16, man, why am I struggling with Acts and John and all these words? Lord, give my mind the wisdom, the peace, the strength that I need right now. Y'all know it was a tough weekend with the passing of Joe Roberts and his funeral. And just pray for my mind right now as we continue. John 15, verse 16 says, "You did not choose me, but I chose you." We read this, but what did he choose them and appointed them for? What? To bear fruit that would last. And God gave a specific work to Paul. Acts 9, verse 15, which we just spoke about, said what? That he was called, he was going to be used as an instrument to the Gentiles. Church, we see that there's a calling, but then we also see that there's a specific work that God gives. Now, I believe that we can take that to also recognize that there are specific works in the ministry that God calls to. God calls some to lead pastors. God calls some to be youth pastors, some to lead in worship like Brother Aaron. We have some that are called to children's ministry. We have some that are called to senior adults and ministry. I believe that we can take from this passage, from multiple passages in Scripture, to see that God gives specific works of calling even within the ministry. One of the things that I tell kids that are in seminary, I tell them all the time, I say, listen, if the Lord is putting on your heart youth ministry, then you need to go be in youth ministry. If the Lord's putting on your heart to be a senior pastor, you need to go be a senior pastor. And some of them are like, well, don't I need to step in the stones from youth ministry to associate pastor to pastor? I'm like, well, if God's calling you to be a senior pastor, why are you doing stepping stones? Then what are you doing here with the youth ministry? Right? You're just using it as an opportunity to get to where you think you need to be. Where you need to be is where God is calling you to be. You may say, well, David, weren't you in youth ministry beforehand? I was. And I never thought that I would be a senior pastor. While I was in youth ministry, I loved every minute of youth ministry. I thought I'd be a youth pastor for the rest of my life. And then when Brother Fred spoke to me, I started praying over this. And I remember saying yes, because the Lord was putting it on my heart to say yes to this. But I remember saying, but Father, I still have such a heart for youth. Like, how am I going to make that transition? And I struggled with that. But I knew that God was going to equip me and lead me as he's called me. So I woke up on January 1st, or when we were transitioning actually from youth ministry to associate pastor. And literally I woke up that morning and my heart had just shifted overnight. Everything that I loved about youth ministry, I was like, oh, like, man, that's tough to get up really early at summer camp after you stayed up all night. All these things that I used to love, like overnight, it was like the Lord had just redirected my heart and put on my heart that he was leading me and growing in my heart a love for the senior pastorate. Church, I'm here to tell you, I truly believe that God calls us to specific works. And those works can change, but they're all for the kingdom of God. I don't believe that once you're called into ministry that changes. That is a irrevocable calling, as I just shared with you. If you throw in the towel, God's going to throw it right back at you and say, keep going. But I do believe that within ministry that there are different areas that God has called people to. But we also have to recognize that if God's the one who calls, and he's the one who calls us to a specific work, he's also the one who equips us. God is also the one who equips. Hebrews 13, verse 20 through 21 says, now the God of peace who brought up from the dead the great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the eternal covenant, even Jesus our Lord, equip you in every good thing to do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Church, I'm here to tell you that pastors are equipped by God and God alone. I'm here to tell you that you're equipped by God and God alone. It is God who does the equipping for the specific calling that he has in your life. Josh, if you stay true to this word will bring about the power of God. It is the power of God. It is Christ alone. And this is the only strength that you need. As we see in Joshua chapter 1, as we see in Psalm chapter 1, that when you meditate on this word day and night, when you dwell in it, when you obey it, then you shall have success. And that success is not a worldly success. It's not to say, look at how many students we have in the youth ministry or how many people we have on a Sunday morning. It's success when you see people being baptized on Sunday morning. It's success when people are coming to know Christ as Lord and Savior, when people are growing in their walk with the Lord. That's the success he's talking about for the kingdom of God, not simply for your own personal kingdom. So we recognize that God's the one who equips. He's the one that equips you. My life verse, 1 Corinthians 2, 4 and 5, my message and preaching are not in persuasive words of wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of the power, so that your faith people's faith would not rest on the wisdom of man, but on the power of God. God is the one who gives the power. He's the one that gives the strength. He's the one that equips. He's the one who does the work in and through us. We must be a willing vessel. We must abide. We must dwell. We must delight in God. And we must recognize that we are desperately dependent on God for all things. But then we see in verse 3 of this passage in Acts chapter 13, it says, then when they had fasted. Now in verse 1 that I didn't read earlier, now there was at Antioch in the church that there were prophets and teachers. Back to verse 3, then when they, I believe that they are speaking about those who were in the church. When they had prayed and fasted and laid hands on them, they sent them away. Verse 4 says that they were sent out by the Holy Spirit. So what do we see in verse 3 and verse 4? We see that those who are called are being sent out by the church, but by the Holy Spirit, through the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit. Now what I want you to recognize here though, and I believe that we see in this passage, the fact that the church is acknowledging the calling of God upon these people. The church is acknowledging what's already taken place by God. And so how do we do that at Luke 4:18? Well, we have a church council, ordination council. And that ordination council met together, made up of deacons and ordained pastors. And they asked him a whole lot of questions about theology, about his walk with the Lord. And I'm here to tell you that Josh, 100% of the people in the room felt that you were called to and acknowledged God's calling on your life to ministry. But Josh kind of had it double because we just hired him 2 months ago. And he went before about 30 different people, where they all asked about his calling. They all asked about his salvation. They all asked about his theology, his understanding of the scripture. And every one of them came back to me and said, David, this guy is called to the ministry and we are so excited. But I think that Josh needs to go through one more, since he's only been through two groups of people. And I think that it would be wise for you to hear today from Josh his testimony and his calling. So Josh, would you come up here? I've got number 6. Oh, you have a mic. Look, you didn't even need me.
It's not working. Randy, he was taking care of me over there.
There you go.
Wait, are you going to stand up here with me or are you going to sit down?
Do you want me to?
Oh, no, it's whatever.
Okay.
Whatever you want to do.
Sure.
It doesn't matter. So
that way, if you go long, I can just take the mic from you.
There you go. Yeah, you might want to stand up here with
there you
me
go.
Just in case. I like to ramble. Yes, when David asked me to come share my testimony, I was just like, come on, let's go. I love sharing my testimony. It's all glory to God, right? Our testimonies. It's nothing we did, right? You know, I tell my kids, you know, your testimony is what your life was like before Christ, Jesus saving you, and then what your life is like after Christ. So I'm going to share that real quick. So before Christ, you know, I think it's, you can look back. If you have kids, you know, you can't teach kids to be disobedient, right? Romans 1:10, no one is righteous, no, not one, right? And so growing up as a kid, even though I grew up in a Christian home, I was a sinner, right? In need of a Savior. And I remember, even though it's hard to me to think back from age, you know, right when I was born to age 8. I do remember being that kid that was disobedient, right? I have an addictive personality. I remember I was addicted to my PlayStation 2, played that thing all the time, right? And I remember I was 8 years old, and I remember coming to my mom and saying, hey, I need Jesus. Like, realized I was a sinner. And, you know, I tell the kids already, are you on Team Jesus? And that moment right there, you know, I got down on my knees with my mom, and I was on Team Jesus, just like that, right? It was awesome. And that's when it happened, right? Right in that moment, I was sealed by the Holy Spirit, right? Ephesians chapter 1. And so after that, you know, a lot of people, when they share their story, because we all have stories, right? They really focus on all the horrible things they did, all the sins they committed. And don't get me wrong, we're all sinners, right? We all mess up. But I feel like people need to focus more on what God is doing after, right? Like how he works in you after. And I wanted to share that a little bit. So that's what I was saved at 8, and then my life after Christ. And so I remember I was saved at 8, and then it was super special. I was 10 years old. It was November. I had to look in a journal. It was November 17th, 2012, I believe. It was 2010 or 2012. Look at me. I'm forgetting years, too. But I remember I'd been saved for 2 years, and my family, we were living in Louisville, Kentucky at the time, and my dad baptized me in a hotel pool, a Holiday Inn. I remember that day very vividly. It was awesome. And so was baptized, and then from age, 8 and 10 all the way to 13, I was growing, like loving it. You know, I was homeschooled and was waking up early, getting in the Word. So I was growing a ton. I was fired up, getting in the Word. I was reading, the year-long Bible plans and just loving it. And then we ended up moving to Paducah, and I was heavily involved in sports. And I fell in love with the sport of running. And kind of going back to addictive personality, right, that I said I had, I decided to go all in with the sport of running to see if I could do it in college. I was in eighth grade, very driven. And I started having this struggle from eighth grade through high school, how do I follow Jesus wholeheartedly and how do I run for the glory of God, right? And so when I get to high school, I'm going to public school for the first time, and it's a struggle daily. Like one day, running's on the throne, then the other day Jesus is on the throne. It was this battle all through high school. And don't get me wrong, I was saved and I was a believer. But my faith kind of just stayed, kind of stayed the same. From age 8 to 13, I was growing. Then when I got to high school, I kind of just stayed the same. Right when I was saved, my parents poured into me. I was homeschooled. And when I was 13, I started letting running kind of dictate my life a little too much. And so I get to college, end up committing to Morehead State University. I'll never forget it. 2 weeks in, this guy named Mason Blevins, I'll never forget. He didn't waste any time, man. He came up to me, and he was a captain of our team. And he said, "Hey, man, we'd love to grab lunch with you, grab coffee, get to know you." And he started pouring into me, the church you were discipling me. And, I had my parents to do that growing up, but I never had a guy just a couple years above me do that and mimic and show me how to do that, right? So my faith, my freshman year of college, took off because of a guy named Mason Blevins, seeked me out, showed me how to read the Word, showed me how to live it out, and he was on my cross-country and track team, and one of his struggles, too, early in high school, just like me, was idolatry in the sport, struggling with that. So Mason Blevins and then another guy, Jordan Carrington, he didn't per se go through the book about me or anything like that, but we were roommates, and they're both some of my best friends, and he showed me just how to walk, not just talk the talk, but walk the walk, right? Like, I remember he started dating a girl, yeah, and that's very important. Started dating a girl, and he didn't have her in our dorm room late at night, and he just walked it out, right? So I had these two guys, Mason Blevins and Jordan Carrington, showing me, hey, this is how you follow Jesus. And when they graduated, it was super cool. They moved on, and they led our team Bible study. And after they left, I got to lead our team Bible study. I got to be a small part in seeing three teammates come to faith my junior year to senior year of college. And so just wanted to share not only what my life was like before Christ, right, but after, because it's so easy for us to forget what the Lord's doing now, right? Because we're all on this adventure, right? I was speaking to a life group this morning. Elaine had me come into their life group. I was saying, hey, once you start following Jesus, once you're on Team Jesus, it's an adventure. It's an awesome adventure. So I didn't go too long, did I?
No. Share with them real quickly just how the Lord called you to ministry now that you shared your testimony.
Absolutely. So it's funny you're talking about how, run as far away as you can from the calling, right? So it's kind of funny. I ran in a different way. It's funny talking about running since I do it every day. But So since my dad's in sports ministry, I was kind of like a PK kid in a way, kind of like a pastor's kid. Not really, but, you know, he was in sports ministry. And so growing up around FCA, I was all about it. Loved it. Went to these camps, you know, all about Jesus, all about sports, right? And so I get to college, and I get a major in business. And I'm like, I want to do something totally different than my dad. I don't know what it is. I just want to blaze my own path, right? I'm a trailblazer. And I didn't want to do what my dad did. And I remember I ended up changing my major to communications because my really good friend that I told you earlier that had a huge impact in my life, Mason, he was a communication major. And so I ended up changing my major, I think it was my sophomore year. Yeah, sophomore year, I changed my major to communication. And I was like, oh, you know, I love people. I'm social. I love talking all the time. Maybe I should go into radio. You know, maybe I could be some radio guy, be up on, you know, over the broadcast or announce a sports team or something. And so by my senior year, I actually ended up interning with the Morehead State radio station. And I was like, oh, man, it's going to be awesome. You know, I'm going to get that radio voice, and it's going to be great. And ended up starting, and I ended up hating it. It was just like so, it was like watching paint dry every day. I'd go in there for, you know, an hour or two, and I'd just read off a script for the news of the day. It was NPR news. I was just like, this is what radio is. This is boring. How do people do this, you know? And so I did that internship my whole senior year, and I was like, all right, I'm not gonna do radio. And the Lord ended up having me stay in Morehead. I ended up getting my master's in communication. The only reason I stayed in Morehead to get my master's in communication was, okay, I love running. My brother's on the team still. And people always tell me, hey, you'd be a phenomenal coach. You'd be an awesome cross-country track coach. So I was like, all right, I'll pursue coaching, right? And so I start pursuing coaching. That's the sole reason why I ended up getting my master's, just to work under our head coach to be the grad assistant, it's called, at the college level. So I'm a grad assistant, loving it, and it was so fun. But during that time, you know, from freshman year of college all the way to my sixth year, so I was in college that long. I know I look young, but I was in college that long.
Not as long as Randy.
That's
not
true.
As long
only
as Randy.
Half of what Randy
half
was
of
in
Randy's
college.
Time. Whew. In college.
That's crazy. Anyway, so from freshman year to by my sixth year, I was coaching, right? But I was super involved all six of those years in our sports ministry on campus called Athletes in Action. It was very similar to FCA, just a different name. And our sports chaplain of Athletes in Action, his name was Rich Duffield, had a huge impact on my life, just huge. Along with the guys I mentioned, Mason and Jordan Carrington, he also mentored me. And so, you know, he's pouring into me all those 6 years, and I'm heavily involved with sports ministry, with Athletes in Action, and I get to my, you know, final year getting my master's degree, and he comes up to me, you know, we continue to meet, he's like, hey, have you ever thought about going, like, into sports ministry full time? I was like, oh, yeah, I have, but I want to coach. And he's like, well, I think you should look into going on this international internship to South Africa. Like, I think you'd love it. I think it'd really show you what sports ministry would be like. And it's a year and a half. You got to raise all this money. And I think you should look into it. And so I began praying that whole year. And I truly felt like the Lord was calling me to that. And that year, that was the fall of 22. And then we get to the spring of 23. And I end up being the only athlete to apply for that international internship, and they got to take a team of athletes. But that whole year, and really more of that whole spring, the Lord just kept putting on my heart, hey, I'm calling you to the ministry. It wasn't a specific moment, like where I walked up to an altar and the Lord directly spoke, but he spoke through Rich Duffield. And I was very close with Mason and Jordy still, through those three guys and through that whole semester, me pursuing that Athletes in Action job that fell through, the Lord was like, hey, I'm calling you to ministry. It might not be sports ministry, but I want you working full-time in ministry. And I remember, and I want to make sure I don't misquote this. I remember, hold on. Oh, there it is. Man, it's kind of fun. We're both up here.
There you go.
I remember... The verse, 2 Timothy 2:2, right? The heartbeat of discipleship. the things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, and trust these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. And so, not throughout my whole college adventure, but also that spring semester, that verse was coming up all over the place. And the Lord was like, hey, I'm calling you to ministry. You're going to make disciples. You're going to go, I want you to go and trust the words of the scriptures to other men, right? You see in Timothy, you got Paul's writing to Timothy, then Timothy, faithful men, then others. So we see four generations right there. And that's, I mean, Jesus did that, right? Through the 12. And that's why we're standing here today as Jesus followers. So to answer your question, back in spring 2023, that's when the Lord called me to full-time ministry.
Amen. So, awesome.
Anything else?
That's it?
That's it.
That's
all
it.
Right. Woo.
You know what? It's special to hear Josh's testimony. And it is interesting, though. He said that running and God were in a fight for the place in his life on the throne. I don't know of many of you in the room that running is trying to take over that place that it did in Josh's life. But praise God that the Lord is greater than all. You know, as you hear his testimony and that, I'm just so blessed that the Lord has led him here and to be a part of Luke 4:18. You know, this passage here in Acts 13 says that the Holy Spirit, God, is the one who set them apart. God is the one who called them for a specific work. And then it said that the church and the Spirit, they were sent out by the Spirit, but the church also sent them out. What they did was they laid hands on them and prayed. And what we want to do today after Josh going through our ordination council and being hired and walking with so many people and now sharing with you, what we want to do today is pray for Josh. We want to lay hands on him and pray for him. And Randy, can you grab that blue chair as you come in the door right there, right to your right? Oh, can you grab that? Oh, he has it in his hand. I didn't see it. Great job, Randy. Hey, if you don't know that we have a wonderful time here on our staff at Luke 4:18, I'm telling you, you need to come up here just for a day and see our, we have a wonderful time, but we're always praying for one another, holding each other up and supporting one another, and it's incredible. But we're going to ask Josh to come down here, and we're going to lay hands and pray over you. And what I would like to do, and I know for some of you sitting in silence or praying where you are may be a little tough for you, but can we give a few minutes where you could pray for Josh? If you are an ordained deacon or a minister who has been ordained, I want you to come down and lay hands. After we pray for him, then I'm going to have the church. We're going to lay hands on him and pray together. But I want to just have just a moment. Josh, if you'd come on here and sit here, and we're going to have a time. Heidi, can you play the piano as we do this? But if you were part of the ordination council or if you are a ordained deacon, would you come and let's lay hands on Josh and pray for Josh? Just remember that there's several, and you don't have to pray for 10 minutes, but we're going to walk through and pray for him as we go through this time together. So, Elliot, will you lead us off as our chairman of deacons? Father, we're just in awe of what you have done in Josh's life. First, you've taken him from death to life. But Father, we believe as Luke 4:18 fellowship, the members here and our leadership team, that he has been called by you for the gospel ministry to go forth. Lord, we're all called, I know in Scripture, but Lord, we believe that he is called specifically to be in full-time ministry, that you have called him out, set him apart for this purpose. Father, I pray blessings upon him. May he stay true to your word. May it never depart him. May he proclaim and preach your word and your word alone. Put your guardian angels around him. Protect him, O God. But Lord, most of all, may your name be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. Church, at this time, as we are going to close here in just a moment, I want to give Josh a Bible from Luke 4:18. It says, on August 11, 2024, Joshua, may your love for God and this book grow every passing day. Preach and teach the word. Allow the Spirit to be your strength so that your faith will rest on the power of God. Given on this day of ordination from Luke 4:18, fellowship. I know that this Bible is exactly like this Bible that he has from the Kanakuk Institute. And it's so interesting. Our stories are so alike because I have a Bible that's exactly the same from the Kanakuk Institute in my ordination. And I told him, I said, the reason I'm going to put this here for just a second. The reason that I have two of the same is so that I can give one of each of my Bibles to my kids, each of my kids. And he said, well, Dave, what happens if I get married and have more than two kids? I said, you get another Bible. So, but listen, we're going to close by having an opportunity for the church to pray. And here's what we're going to do. His mother and father are here today, and I'm going to ask them to come up here. Let me give you this Bible. And his dad is going to pray for him. But church, if you would like to, and we're going to close as soon as, when he says amen, our time will be done. You're welcome to leave. We're not going to have, like, go back to your seats to sing to leave. We'll be dismissed. But in this time of praying over him, if you would like to come and just put your hand upon him, or if you can get close and just put your hand towards him, or if you want to do it from your seat, that's fine. But I want to give the whole congregation an opportunity if you would like to come. And then his father is going to pray for him as we close our time together. So if you would like to come down at this time before we leave today, come on down.
Heavenly Father, we praise you for such a wonderful day. Thank you for the blessings. Thank you for your love for us. Thank you for what you do for us. Heavenly Father, we're so grateful for Joshua. We're so proud of him. We're so confident. Your mom and I are so confident that you're where you're supposed to be. Your mom always says, that we want all of our children to be in the center of God's will. And we know you are. We're grateful for a super loving and caring and shepherding family here at Luke 4:18. You're in phenomenal hands. Romans 8:31 tells us, if God is for us, who can be against us? And Josh, we pray that we know that God is for you. May he guide you. May he lead you. And we pray that he's the one that you will run to first each and every day. Father, we love you. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
As we leave, make sure you speak to Josh if you have an opportunity. If you were part of the council, I'd love for you to come and sign his certificate of ordination. We're dismissed. Thank you for being here today. Love you all. Look forward to seeing you on Wednesday.